What's up, DC? Welcome back to another edition of Locked On Wizards with SB Nation's Bullets Forever writer Ben Mahich and myself, Anthony Citadino. We are your hosts, and you are now Locked On Wizards, where you get everything Wizards basketball. Go subscribe to the Locked On Wizards podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you may listen to podcasts. Go throw us a follow on Twitter at Locked On Wizards. We have a great show ahead of us and a ton to get into. Ben and I will be going over Russell Westbrook's amazing performances while Bradley Beal has been out, Chandler Hutchinson's surprising debut, and Rui Hachimura's mini breakout. But first, we want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room, a live podcasting platform, which we'll tell you all about later in the show. Ben, huge win over the Indiana Pacers. Russell Westbrook, historic night, not only for the Washington Wizards / Bullets franchise, NBA history. I mean, absolutely unbelievable night. And tonight's loss to the Charlotte Hornets, we will definitely get into. But Ben, let's talk about Russ. Let's get right into it. I hope you're doing well, my friend. What do you think of Russell Westbrook? You know, how he's been playing without Brad and his historic night.
I'm glad you said NBA history. I'll say this. Russell Westbrook is NBA history. I haven't been the biggest fan of his game. I was skeptical about how players that play like Russell Westbrook can lead a team to a championship. We haven't really seen that in the modern NBA. That doesn't take away from the fact that Russell Westbrook is, in the modern NBA, amongst the most iconic players to ever step on the floor. I mean, on Monday night, he showed that MVP type of basketball that we've been missing all year long. And he really energized the team in ways that I haven't seen in years. I mean, there were amazing John Wall performances here and there. Nothing like what we saw on Monday. I mean, he showed on Monday that he really transcends the sport. I was watching the Denver Nuggets game the other night, and they were talking about Russell Westbrook. He's bigger than the sport when he plays like this. I mean, he's an icon of the sport.
100%.
And it's truly a fortune to have a player like Russell Westbrook on the team that has really historically, especially recently in recent history, lacked firepower and star power like Russell Westbrook. And besides LeBron James and maybe a couple other players, there isn't a bigger star in the NBA than Russell Westbrook. He's a household name, and it was just amazing to see the game, because whatever happens this season, whether the Wizards miss the playoffs or not, this game is what's going to stick out. These games are that stick out in NBA history. People are going to remember this game a lot more than they will the Wizards season, as sad as that might sound. But I think it speaks to how amazing Russell Westbrook was on Monday, and really how incredible and how lucky we have been to have him in the NBA throughout the course of his career.
I love that you said that, because, I mean, we're not taking it for granted. We are so lucky. Ben, he's on his way to averaging his fourth career triple-double over a season. Before Russell Westbrook, there's only been one guy to do it. Most of you know, the Big O, Oscar Robinson, did it in 1962, 55 years in between that, and then Russell Westbrook averaged his first over his career with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And, Ben, it was amazing to see 35 points, 14 rebounds, 21 assists, 14 for 26 from the floor, 4 for 6 from 3, only 4 turnovers, too. Ben, all around, Russ just was playing absolutely sensational. Everything was clicking for him down the stretch, hitting huge threes. I mean, he sealed the game. And his 21 assists, so that's the first time a player has ever scored 35 plus points and 20 plus assists in a game ever in the history of the game. And Ben, he broke John's record of assists for franchise record. John had 20, and Russ, he was able to dish out 21. What does this mean in terms of the franchise for the Washington Wizards, the Washington Bullets? What does he mean now? I know that he's only been here for 38 games, but 17 triple doubles now. He's on his way to averaging another triple double over a whole season, and he just had this historic night. Well, I guess, Ben, you've been covering the team a long, long time. So what does this mean for Russell Westbrook in terms of great guards and great players, really, in the Wizards and Bullets history.
That's how interesting of a player Russell Westbrook is, where the Wizards might be destined for a top five pick this year, yet Russell keeps going, he keeps setting NBA history, and he keeps doing his own thing. We talk about Russell Westbrook separately from the Washington Wizards. We talked about Russell Westbrook separately from the Houston Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder because he was that important to the game. And this way, I mean, again, we've talked about it all throughout the season. You look at just the talent, how talent-deprived the Washington Wizards have been, sometimes to their own fault because they failed in the draft, because they could have had a Kawhi Leonard, because they could have had a Steph Curry, because they could have had a Klay Thompson and a Draymond Green. They could have had that Warriors team on this roster if they drafted well, but they ended up with the team they did. And Russell Westbrook sticks out in the sense that, I mean, obviously besides Michael Jordan, who most people don't even consider a member of the team, probably the most successful player in franchise history, particularly individually. There's no one to have worn the Washington Wizards jersey that has that did what Russell Westbrook has done throughout the course of his career and is still doing. I mean, that Monday performance showed that when Bradley Beal's not playing, Russell Westbrook is still capable of playing at all NBA level. And I'll ask you this, Anthony. This adds a whole nother wrinkle to the Washington Wizards. Because if they do end up trading Bradley Beal, and let's say they trade him, which I've talked about this hypothetical trade in the past. Let's say they trade Bradley Beal to the New Orleans Pelicans and get back a Brandon Ingram, an Alexander Walker, and maybe a couple other role players and picks. All of a sudden, you have Russell Westbrook leading a team again, putting up these numbers, and perhaps winning more games than they are now. So while on paper, it looks like the Wizards would get worse trading Bradley Beal, you have a situation where Russell Westbrook would be able to play Russell Westbrook style of basketball. And historically, that means that team is going to win games. Maybe not the championship, but they're going to win enough games to make the playoffs. So, man, Russell Westbrook is adding an entire dimension that we haven't even considered. And it's showing that, you know what, I was wrong. He's healthy now, and he's playing an incredible brand of basketball. I mean, even on Tuesday, the Wizards lost, but he had another triple-double. That's just what he does on a night-in, night-out basis. So I'm excited to see what transpires. And it's just another question mark, I guess, and what the Wizards have to consider moving forward. Because if you trade Bradley Beal, that doesn't even mean you're going to rebuild necessarily because he's that good. And if you give him the right pieces –
right,
you might stumble into the playoffs.
Absolutely, and wow, if that trade proposal is something else, and if they were able to swing it, if New Orleans obviously was looking to move, I don't, you know, right with New Orleans their position right now, I think they're pretty set at where they are. So many picks built up, so many great young players, especially looking at Zion and Brandon Ingram. But if they were really looking to move for Brad, I'm not going to sit here and say that these players are better than Bradley Beal, because they're not at all, not even close. But if the Wizards had more depth instead of Bradley Beal, then there is a chance this team could win more games just because they would have more depth. That's not to say that the Wizards are better off without Bradley Beal. I'm not trying to say that at all, not at all, because obviously any team is better with Bradley Beal. This team has no depth, though, and if you are proposing that this team get not one, not two, but three, maybe four assets in place of Brad, then yes, that would be. All around, that's almost a whole other rotation right there.
Yeah, look, six good players is better than two good players.
So all I'm trying to say, because yeah, we course. Love Brad. We on this show, we love Bradley Beal. Like, there's nothing. He is the best player. He's the best shooting guard in basketball. The best player in Washington, D.C. Top three, top four player in the league right now. I would 100% never argue that. But Ben, yes, if they were able to do it, I wouldn't. That would work out great for both teams, I feel like.
Yeah, and it's this whole thing that the Wizards will have to figure out, I think, moving forward. Obviously, getting them to trade Bradley Beal is next to impossible. And you can
it really is.
Why. And you can understand why, because he is that good. But
you think, you know, even if they got rid of him, I mean, do you think that maybe Washington would build around a Russell Westbrook?
I don't know if they'd have a choice, right?
Right?
It's like – He's under contract for the next couple of years. We know that teams are hesitant to trade for contracts like Russell Westbrook's, and in particular, players that play Russell Westbrook's brand of basketball, because, I mean, which contending team is ready to take on Russell Westbrook?
But
you put
and
him
I'm
the
not
Clippers.
Saying the contending team, right? I mean, but, oh, but man, there are teams out there that probably would want him, right?
Maybe.
Not contenders. I mean, Ben, you know, averaging right now 22 points, over 10 rebounds, over 10 assists. Ben, coming into this season, as of right now, he has 163 triple-doubles. His record along with that throughout his whole career, 123-40, 40 losses. 10 of those losses are this season while putting up a triple-double. So yeah, Ben, he hasn't had the same success in his career in Washington, right? I mean, in Oklahoma City and in Houston, he had much more success on better teams, of course, much more depth, like you brought up earlier in the segment. I mean, three MVPs were drafted, what, 4 years apart? Yeah. It was absolutely – you'll never see that again. Absolutely absurd. That's probably the best drafting any GM could ever do. And
yeah, those teams were built around Russell Westbrook in the sense that you had floor spacing big men like Serge Ibaka, you had long wing defenders that can cover for Westbrook, that run the floor well. Wizards don't have that. They have a team that isn't really prepared to play with a Russell Westbrook and a Bradley Beal, and that's why the team is bad. All of a sudden, you have a guy like Daniel Gafford and Chandler Hutchinson, who, with all due respect, are you know, not household names by any means, and all of a sudden you see Russell Westbrook start playing a little better, and the team start to pick up its energy because they needed those players all along. Right. And if they have Hutchinson and Daniel Gafford, and that makes a difference. Just imagine if they had actual veteran players who are established in the league, who have similar traits, who are athletic, can run, defend. The Wizards would probably be a good basketball team, but they don't have that in the roster. And that's why Russell Westbrook's performances early on really suffered, I think.
But hey, Gafford, I know he's out for 10 games. It's looking maybe a little bit more, or 10 days, maybe a little bit more. But hey, first two games, not looking too bad. With the minutes given, right? 13 minutes, 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean,
here.
It just goes to show that the Wizards needed it. I mean, seriously, I mean, to boil it down to the simplest terms, they needed somebody who could just jump. I mean, nobody on this roster can keep up with Russell Westbrook's athletic ability, so he's running up and down the floor, and the big men are Robin Lopez and Alex Len, and that's not good for anybody.
Ben, you're 100% right, and there's really no athletic depth there, like, besides Gafford now. But Ben, before we really cut to the next segment here with these guys, I want to get your take on Hutchinson, his debut. I know on Tuesday night against Charlotte wasn't the same, but against Indiana, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he looked really good. The Wizards needed an athletic wing. They got one here. I read a scouting report on him, and they compared him to Trevor Ariza, which was kind of interesting. And again, the Wizards love Trevor Ariza, so maybe that's where they got him. We'll see what we got here. I mean, the Wizards will see what they got here. I think they took a flyer on him. They needed a defensive.
Right, he shot really efficiently.
Yeah, he moves well without the ball, and he's athletic. He finishes well around the basket, some tough shots. So,
for sure, Troy Brown does too. Right. Yeah, he passes better too.
But he's not the explosive sort of defensive wing that Hutchinson is. Right, he plays
all right. Yeah,
a bit better. That's not Troy's fault. But
100% though. Yes, defensively, I'll give it to Chandler. Absolutely.
So. Let's move on there. Let's tell these guys about Locker Room. It's the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, Anthony, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. We're going to be hosting the Locked On Wizards podcast there once a week, and yes, you, the listener, can join in on the conversation. Locker Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns. Be sure to join our Locker Room soon. Go download the free Locker Room app now. It's currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile link your Twitter, and join the NBA group for the latest league updates. Follow us on Lockdown Wizards on Twitter to be notified when our room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. We're going to plan on starting these Locker Room live podcasts soon, and you won't want to miss it. It's Locker Room, and it's changing the way we talk sports. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. Anthony, we just touched on Chandler Hutchinson. I want to dig a little deeper into him and really what the Wizards are trying to do with Bradley Beal out. They're giving Denny Abdia a little bit more of a chance. He's starting again, as is Jerome Robinson. We're getting a deeper look into what the Wizards are trying to do with this wing rotation. Avdija had the 12-point game against the Pacers, followed that up with a 1-for-10 performance. Jerome Robinson, 36 minutes on Tuesday against the Charlotte Hornets. I can't help but chuckle there because the guy literally hadn't played in 2 months, and now he's playing almost 40 minutes. Didn't play very well again, 12 points, 5-for-14 shooting. So what are you seeing from these guys, Anthony? How can we even assess these players given the situation? Are you worried about Denny Avdija shooting 1-for-10, 1-for-7 from three? Like, how do you assess what the Wizards are, I guess, doing with this wing rotation?
I'm definitely not worried about Denny's shooting at all. Yes, against Charlotte, it didn't look the best, right? 1-for-10, 1-for-7, but Ben, 1-for-10. I'm going to take the silver lining out of here. The kid actually shot. He put up 10 shots. I'm happy about that. Go
Seven
shoot.
Of them were threes, man.
Go shoot, though. Hey, at least he's shooting.
All right, I'm going to get into this.
I'm not going to sit here and say I'm rooting for guys to miss shots, but I'm happy to see that Denny's actually breaking out of his shell, being more aggressive, shooting the ball. I mean, he could have stopped. He could have stopped at 1-for-5, right? He could have stopped at 1-for-6. I mean, keep shooting the ball. Continue to keep your confidence because guess what? I mean, we know this with Davis Bertans too, Ben, right? I mean, slumps happen, especially with shooters.
I want to dig into this a little bit deeper with you, Anthony.
Go ahead.
I want to talk to you about this. I got into a little bit of a debate with Bulls Forever. I write for this website. I love everyone I write with.
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
Got into a little bit of a back and forth with these guys because, look, Howell Neto was out. Bradley Beal was out. The only point guards on the roster were Russell Westbrook and Cassius Winston. Cassius Winston has been a second-round pick. He's a rookie, hasn't really played at all this year. He got some playing time on Tuesday. Scott Brooks is doing absolutely everything in his power to make sure that Denny Abdia is not controlling the ball at any point in the game. So you mentioned the 1-for-10 shooting. He went 1-for-7 from three. He was a spot-up shooter. They're playing him like Trevor Ariza, slat him in the corner. God hope he hits the three. That's kind of his role. That angers me beyond belief because I got in a Twitter debate with Bullets Forever, and shout out to Bullets Forever again. But they kept saying, like, how do you know he's a point forward, right?
Yes, you mentioned him being a point forward in your initial tweet. Yeah.
Why did you draft him? If you're Tommy Shepard, and let's pretend you're Tommy Shepard for a second here, Anthony, why did you draft Denny Abdia 9th overall? Because the guy can handle the ball. He's 6'9". He can pass. You didn't draft him for his shooting ability. He shot 50% from free throw with Maccabi Tel Aviv. You knew his jump shot was still in progress, and he is showing that he has decent form and he can knock down some threes here and there, but he's not a catch-and-shoot shooter. So now your primary guards are out, and Beal and Howell Neto. And you don't even let the guy bring the ball up the floor.
Rewind back to the beginning of the season. We entered the season with the knowledge, with this of Denny. His shooting is going to be a work in progress.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a good rebounder. And he does handle the ball well, and he's a good passer. That's pretty much what we got, right? Found out that he's an exceptional shooter for his age. Found out that he can rebound the ball really, really well. He's really tough on the glass. He is.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Found out that he can be a great playmaker when the ball is in his hand. Ben, I couldn't agree more with you. I really do agree that this kid is more of a point forward. He's 6'9". And when given the opportunity, you can't – because Scott Brooks keeps giving us, these kind of excuses. No, he's not ready to play, point guard. No, he's not ready to have that role at all yet. You need to learn. He needs to continue learning over the season. He's told us this all season long, but we haven't we haven't seen him get the chance yet, really, besides, really training camp and preseason stuff and really little instances here and there. But Ben, no, I think 100% Denny Avdia can be that point forward that you were arguing for, and I think that he can be now.
I mean,
when given the opportunity.
Out. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he can't. But you got to find out. Well, I mean, with all due respect to Cassius Winston, what good does it make sense to give him just random minutes off the bench? I mean, he played 11 random minutes off the bench, didn't do anything. God bless him. He's a rookie, but
random minutes is that's the theme this year. Random minutes
can't be the theme because now you're punting on Denny's development again. You have the chance to find out whether he can play point forward, whether you have another ball handler on your team, and whether you have a special sort of player in the league. Because when you look around the NBA, how many point forwards with 6'9", 6'10", point forwards are there in the NBA? There aren't a lot. So need a guy like Denny Abdia to show up, and you have to make sure that you're utilizing in ways that are expanding his game, and you're using him for the purposes you drafted him for. If you wanted a catch and shoot shooter, why didn't you draft Sadiq Bey?
Ben, it seems like these in between players, like a Troy Brown Jr. before he left too, there were disagreements within the organization how to play these guys. Maybe that's the case with Denny Abdia too. He's 6'9".
You got to make a change. I'm sorry. You're wasting time. Sorry. These kids are 19, 20 years old.
Exactly. No. Yeah. That's where the frustration lies on this show, lies with all the fans, lies with everyone in their camps, because wasting their time, wasting like a year of their career, come on. I mean, what is an NBA average career? 3-4 years?
Yeah, 3 years.
That's what it is. So that's ridiculous. You can't waste these kids' time. It's absolutely ridiculous.
And it's a really sink or swim league.
It is. Oh, it is.
If you have a bad rookie and sophomore year, and bad by just like statistical measures, because if you look at Denny's stats, let's be honest, most people don't watch the Wizards games. When you watch Denny Abdia's, you look at his statistics, you think, man, this kid might turn out to be a bust. Look at him. He's averaging, what, 5 points? He's fouling out of games. He's missing these three-point shots. But when you watch the games and you're assessing how this team's approaching his development, it's pretty clear that the kid can hoop. He's got a ton of talent. He's of course raw. He's only 20 years old, but he's shown that he has high level basketball IQ. He makes simple plays. He rarely makes the wrong play. The Wizards have a good one here, yet they're turning him into a spot up shooter that he never was.
He's not that.
A spot up shooter. They didn't draft Troy Brown Jr. to be a spot up shooter. Yet here we are. You're right, doing the same thing with that they did with him, and I urge. Again, I'm assuming nobody on the Wizards is listening to this, but if I could speak to them, I would tell them, these things are urgent. I understand they're young players, but these careers come and go, and their development is not to be wasted. You can't waste lottery pick after lottery pick on players only to turn them into players that you didn't intend to draft. If you wanted a spot-up shooter, you should have drafted one. Denny Abdia is not that guy.
And the layout teams get in the NBA, you have a good amount of time. You have 3 years.
Right.
Your lotto pick, you got 3 years to develop. You got 3 years to make a plan. Yep. There was no plan set in place for Troy Brown. Right now, there looks like there is one in for Rui, and we're seeing.
Rui's making the plan, though.
Yeah, you're right. He is, and Rui's playing great.
He took 25 shots on Tuesday, 24 of the game prior. He's clearly with Bradley Beal out, and we'll get into Rui a little bit more later. But he's grabbing the ball by the horns, and he's. Taking advantage of the opportunity in the sense that he's shooting some bad shots. Because I guarantee you he's thinking like, hey, man, if I'm not going to shoot, who is? If Scott Brooks not going to run plays for me, I got to make sure
Ben,
I run plays for myself.
It all circles back to exactly what you have been saying, and it's just ISO. It is just Bradley Beal handoff after handoff, and that's not on Brad. It's not on him. It's not on the players.
You can throw Brad into any offense, he'll figure it out because he's
exactly.
That good.
He's that unbelievably good, but still, for this team, winning wise, like for winning purposes, it's just not the recipe. But that's not up to them, right?
And for Denny Abdia, for a player like him, his disposition, Denny Abdia is not going to be the guy who just starts driving the ball to the basket just to prove a point or starts throwing it.
He's a rookie. He can't. No, he'll get yanked.
Some players would. Some players would, but Denny doesn't have that personality. And to a fault, it hurts him. But truth be told, if he ended up on the team that cared about development or at least did it properly.
Again, for Denny to go against the game plan like that.
There is none, though.
You know,
that's the issue.
And But we've seen him already get chastised on the sidelines by Brad, by Scott Brooks. I mean, obviously they are in that position for sure, but still, you know, I mean.
You just wonder. You wonder if the team had put genuine time and effort into developing these players, what they'd have. And Denny Avdija is so clearly a talented player, and it hurts me to see him in a situation where his talents aren't utilized correctly. And
so now, are we saying this is as similar as Troy Brown?
Same thing. It's the same movie. It's the same movie.
So Ben, I know that you know people within the organization that have told you pretty much that there were disagreements about Troy Brown's usage, and as well as other journalists around the league as well. And if we're going down that road with Denny Avdija, not a 15 overall pick. Now it's your 9 overall pick. Yeah.
Who was projected top 5, by the way?
Right. Fell, got, and in our eyes, I'm pretty sure you can agree with me, Ben, a steal.
That's what they said. That's what Tommy said. I mean, Tommy.
I still believe it. I still believe it. When given the opportunities, it just seems that the opportunities lie when Bradley Beal's in. The opportunities lie with Brad and Russ and that and everyone else. It's like there's Rui a little bit here and there, but it's mainly those two, and everyone else is there to play defense, there to, you know, set screens. That, I mean,
play defense.
And I don't want to make it sound just like that, but it's so tough to watch. Just not the most fluid offense, and really two guys, you know, play their ISO game because they're that good. They are superstar studs. They're that good. But
before we move on, I'll say
not the recipe.
In a Q&A, Fred Katz, who's I'd say probably the most prominent Wizards reporter right now, was asked whether Scott Brooks would get an extension, and he flat out said no. So I'll say that before.
Right, and we know that our good friend Fred Katz, he's got friends within the organization, so that is probably very accurate. But guys, yes, we have a lot more to get in about all of that, the Wizards' future games, and more about Russ and Bradley Beal's return. But first, I want to tell you guys about BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Ben does it all the time. Bets on all his NBA, college hoops, NHL, all the time. He bet on the Grammys. He bets on TV shows, reality TV, any show you want. Real-time updated odds and prop bets on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website. Use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Make sure to use the promo code LOCKEDON. Guys, we have been telling you all season about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. Built Bar is so amazing, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. Yes, going along with March Madness, today's matchup is Cookies and Cream versus Cookie Dough Chunk. Both unbelievable. This is such a difficult matchup, but both are delicious. And honestly, it's two of my favorites. I know Ben loves them both. We both just got a shipment of both. Absolutely out of this world. That's why they've gotten this far in the Built Bar Madness bracket. It's indulgent. It's delicious. It's classic. But the great part is they're both so healthy and tasty. Go to BuiltBar.com. Or to Built Bar at Built Bar on Twitter. Remember to use the promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. My pick for today would be cookie dough. I know I'm going against Ben's favorite, Cookies and Cream, but you got to – Go tune in to see who won. And yes, tune in and go to BuiltBar.com. 15% off your next order. Get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA draft with Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. Locked On Wizards listeners, with Bradley Beal out, we're seeing Rui Hachimura take this role of this scorer, this elite scorer that we really have not seen from Rui in the 2 years that he's been in the NBA, but he's been really stepping up. Ben, he scored 26 points against the Pacers and then followed it up with 30 against the Hornets. He took more than 20 shots in both those games, 25 Tuesday night. Ben, he's showing that he's taking his opportunities and he's just going with it. He's being aggressive. He's being on the ball. He's taking his shots whenever he really gets an opportunity, trying to back up Russ as much as he can while Bradley Beal's out. What do we think about Rui? Are you loving what you're seeing? I know that I am.
Yeah, when you look at this team, there isn't much positive things to take away from the season. But Rui is probably, I mean, obviously Bradley Beal's playing at an All-NBA level, but you know, you shelve him. Rui's probably the most important piece to this team. And the fact that he's developing at the rate he has, he's taking shots, he's shown that he can be an aggressive player, and he's playing sort of like a Tobias Harris role, where if he keeps developing at this pace and keeps hitting the three-point shot, you can see that he has all-star caliber talent, I think. And the Wizards need that third star on the roster. We don't know how long Russell Westbrook's going to be in the league and how long he's going to be able to play at the level he has, but Rui's going to be here for a super long time. You look at the 2019 NBA draft, I think the top three picks remain Zion, Ja Morant, RJ Barrett. But then the fourth pick was DeAndre Hunter. It's obviously way too early to judge these players, but if you had to do a quick redraft of the 2019 NBA draft, Rui probably goes fourth overall, which is pretty crazy to say, because all of these players are super high upside. I mean, Darius Garland has an incredible upside. DeAndre Hunter has incredible upside, as is Kobe White. But, right. I mean, Rui has shown already. I mean, he's, what, 23 years old, and he's playing at this level with Beal out. And I think it's an indictment on the team. Did it really take a Bradley Beal injury for Rui Hachimura to have a breakout performance? I don't think it should have. He's shown that he can score off the dribble, that he can take pressure off Bradley Beal. He can score off the bounce. His one-on-one scoring abilities is really solid for a player his age. So it's an exciting development. It would just be nice if the coaching staff, you know, had realized this a little bit more. I wish it didn't take a Beal injury for them to realize that.
Right, but Ben, and again with that, it's just the offense at hand. And when Brad is out, we see how many more opportunities open up for everyone else. Rui in particular, obviously, and 26 points against the Pacers, 30 against the Hornets. He's been playing absolutely sensational while Brad's out. Is it crazy to say if Rui was on a team with no stars, Rui was on, say, an Orlando Magic team, no stars,
I mean, he's
could this guy be averaging over 20?
Oh yeah, I mean he could be averaging over 20 on the Wizards tomorrow if they had a competent offense, to be honest with you.
Right, I don't doubt it. Yeah, look,
I mean it's that. He's not doing it at the most efficient way. I mean, he scored 30 points on
Tuesday. He's got time.
That's the thing. I mean, he's forced to take these shots off the dribble, these step back jump shots. If the team pass the ball more. They're 24th in passing this year. They were top 10 last year. That says a lot about this team's offense and how it's sort of degraded over the last couple of years. If this team had a fluid offense, would allow Rui to pick and pop. If Bradley Beal utilized that, the double team that he often faces, and Rui was open from the mid-range area, he could easily average 20 points at an efficient rate. He can knock down the open jumper. He's getting more comfortable from deep. There's really nothing offensively that he can't do.
Ben, I just love how much – I mean, I know not against Charlotte, but when he is scoring at a high rate, if he's grabbing around 10 rebounds, that's such gravy for the Wizards. It's absolutely amazing what he's able to do. It's crazy to think this and say this right now in his second year, but if he's able to do this at a consistent rate, he can be one of the best power forwards in the league. That's just what it is.
He's one of those tweener guys, and the league is good for those players. But not long ago, I mean, 4 or 5 years ago, if you were a tweener, you were out the league. Remember Derek Williams? I mean, you put Derek Williams in the 2021 NBA, and he's probably playing a decent role somewhere. Nowadays, I mean, players like Rui, who are 6'8", undersized, doesn't have a real position, can play some 3-4. it fits well because the league isn't really dominated by big men anymore. They're dominated by those athletic, versatile wing players, powerful
shooters, baby, right?
Shooters and guys that can play multiple positions and defend. And Rui's shown that. That's the light at the end of the tunnel for Washington. Because if the season continues to go down the path it has and the Wizards end up in the lottery again, at least you know you have something in Rui, a player who can not only score offensively at an efficient rate at a high level, but he can defend too. I mean, nobody on this Wizards roster defends but Rui. And that's barely an exaggeration. Look at up and down the roster, and he's really the only player that you can depend on defensively every night.
And I love that he's really tried to take on the hardest role this team like has is being the best defender on the team, and he's done a fine job.
He's done a hell of a job.
He's done a fine job with what he has to work with, because obviously you can't. Like stats and scores, that will never translate how well he can defend all five positions, really. It just won't translate that for you. If you're sitting there watching every game, like sitting there watching every possession, like what he has done, the guys that he has guarded, the assignments that he has taken, right? LeBron James and other great players, you know, that they have matched up with Ben. He's done a phenomenal job. And the games that Brad is out, when he does take on this, you know, primary scoring role, it's amazing to watch because he can score. He can play so well in this league, but, you know, obviously he's playing with two of the best players in this league. And you know, that's just what it is. You take a backseat to it. And Ben, you are right. I love the silver lining because that's a great thing to take away from this season is Rui's development and what Rui has and how well he can play. Ben, it's just very nerve-wracking about other, you know, the other young guys too, because you, like, player development it's not just one guy, right? And how nervous we are with Denny. We should not be this nervous, not even 40 games in. We just should not be.
I mean,
that's
a good point, like, because the Wizards are bad this year, but at least you can take away that Rui's getting better.
You know, just over 40 games in. Sorry, I misspoke.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Wizards were equally, if not a little bit worse last year, and your main takeaway was that Bradley Beal is really good. I mean, the other takeaway should have been the fact that, you know, Troy Brown Jr. could be a player in this league and some of the other young players, but basically the only takeaway is that Bradley Beal can probably lead a team to the playoffs as the best player on the roster. Now it's like, hey, this team is still bad, but at least you got something in Rui. Maybe next year, perhaps there's a new coach, perhaps there's a front office that's a little bit more careful with the development of the team and a little bit more considerate of how they're, I guess, spending the careers of these players. Maybe you'll find out that you have something in Denny Avdija too, but I think kudos to Rui because he's taking matters into his own hands. He's not going to wait for Scott Brooks to run plays for him because, truth be told, that's not going to happen. He's kind of taking matters into his own hands in the sense that he's making himself undeniable. And there aren't a lot of Washington Wizards on this roster that can say the same. I mean, look, Jerome Robinson, 36 minutes on Tuesday, did nothing with that time.
Out of nowhere. I mean, the poor kid hasn't played in years, pretty much.
Yeah,
I mean, really, but still has not played in nearly 2 months, and you're going to give him minutes that LeBron James and Russell Westbrook are playing.
It's
absolutely absurd to think that. I mean, yeah, the kid's young for sure, but still being in a routine, like just always being out there, that's obviously more fluid than, I mean, sitting for almost 2 months, nearly 2 months.
I've watched professional basketball for a very long time. I could never tell you where a 15th man has gone from literally not playing, where you forget he's even in the NBA, to playing 40 minutes. I've never seen that truly in my life.
It's so mind-boggling.
Somebody suffered a serious injury, and there's no other rotation player to play. I can't remember the last time this has happened. The Wizards aren't in that case. Look, Garrison Matthews had started, and now he's bench for Jerome Robinson. That it's just like moves like that, you kind of have to just
That point you just think that Scott's trying to make a major change now he's trying to think,
look, man, you can justify that 5-10 games into the season where we were literally like, you know, Scott's just trying to figure out what he has on the roster. You're more than halfway done with the year. You have 20 something games left. You can't still try to figure out what you have in the roster. I mean, your job as an NBA coach is to figure that out during training camp, not 50 games into the season. That's absurd. It's unjustifiable. And I think it's truly some of the oddest coaching that I've seen in years. And the fact that he's, his remarks after being questioned, just saying, you got to pick somebody. After hearing that, I think my job still hasn't really gone up.
That the question that Ben asked Coach Brooks, yes. Ben will remember that forever. Ben, before we let these guys go, though, and that, this whole show has been great. I mean, I always love, you know, dissecting the Wizards with you. I think before we let these guys go, we got to talk about something. And it's Russell Westbrook and really the end and how this season is going to shape for him. You know, he's going down this road, averaging he probably will end up averaging his fourth career triple-double over a whole season. And Ben, he's probably going to get left off the NBA selection, right? Like, he didn't even sniff an All-Star bid, and that's because he started the season hurt, not playing back-to-backs, and he started, and when he was playing, it was not the Russell Westbrook that we knew. Obviously, he's back to what he, you know, he's healthy again. His legs are great. We saw against Charlotte, my God, some of those vicious dunks right there at the end. Over Bismack Biyombo. Wow. That is Russell Westbrook. Absolutely polarizing. Exactly what you said earlier in the show. Just sensational. Ben, averaging a triple double. We talked about this earlier in the show and with Oscar Robertson, how he did that. He averaged that 1962. Next time anyone ever saw anything like that, it was 2017. Ben, it's pretty safe to say that we may never see this again. If this is Russell's last year averaging a triple-double, I'm so happy that we are able to watch every single game. I don't want to take it for granted. It's absolutely beautiful. I don't think we will be able to see this again, given how rare it has been. Like, there hasn't been too many of these players. And with him right now, if I'm voting for the All-NBA, obviously my vote's one of my, you know, I'm going to vote for Russ. I would. I'm just assuming that he will not get votes. He will not get picked due to how the season has gone, the Wizards record, and him being not being an All-Star. Ben, what does this mean, man? He's going to average triple-double for the Wizards. The Wizards have never had a player like this ever before, and he's not going to be an All-Star. He's not going to be in the All-NBA. I for one, think this is really absolutely a travesty in basketball. What do you think?
It is. It's a travesty, I think, for the Wizards, because a player averaging a triple-double, playing at historic levels, should get not only individual recognition, but that should translate to wins. I mean, Anthony, kudos to you for digging up that stat earlier. They're 7-10 with this man dropping a triple-double. That is unheard of. That is really difficult to do. Awful. I mean, the team has to be really, really bad where you have 17 triple-doubles and 10 of them are losses. That's I mean, really bad. I mean, a third of his losses averaging a triple-double have come in a Wizards uniform. That's really bad. So to that end, it's right. Disappointing.
Because before this season, his record before this season while posting a triple-double was 117 wins and 30 losses. So, yeah, it's, you know, not now he's got 40 losses, you know. So, it's been bad this year.
I think also we'd be remiss not to mention the other players who are going to take those spots. This speaks to how incredible the golden age of basketball. We're living in the golden age of basketball. These players are taken for granted, I think, unfortunately, just because we've been spoiled. Russell Westbrook won't make the All-NBA team, but Luka Doncic will. Damian Lillard will. Bradley Beal will. James Harden will. Kyrie Irving will. Chris Paul, who is an MVP candidate, will.
Right. I mean,
the list goes on and on and on. Any of these players could win MVP. And that's just the guards.
And those guys are absolutely great. I'm a fan of literally all of them, huge fan of all of them, and I will never take anything away from them. I just it's going to break my heart to see
that's
a man average a triple-double over however many games that Russ is going to have at the end of this 72-game season and will not even – he probably won't even get one vote. for an All-NBA selection.
Yeah, he's not going to make the team. And you
that's absolutely ridiculous. It is insane because when you talk about an All-NBA selection, yes, his shooting has been down this year for sure. But when you talk about an All-NBA selection, an All-NBA player, what are we talking about?
He made it last year.
In that sense, right? And but an all-around player, right? A player that helps their team all around. Maybe wins and losses will come into this, and they usually do, right? I thought more so for the All-Star selection, but in recent years it has been the same with the All-NBA too. So Ben, we assume that Brad's going to be on an All-NBA team. We assume that.
I think so.
Right. I mean, he's obviously, you know, leading the league in scoring and putting up great numbers. But it's going to be hard to – I mean, that's a blow for Russ, for sure. That's a big blow to his ego, a big blow to his hard work that he's put in. I mean, it's not easy. It cannot be easy to start a season while hurt. Literally, like, hurt. Your legs are not up to snuff, and you push forward, and you push through it just to play, to try and, you know, make a push, and it wasn't enough. And it still looks like it's not enough just because of the depth. It's really, this is on the front office. It's not on him, but still it's going to suck because Ben, he's worked so hard to get here and to do it for four seasons out of a career. Average a triple double for four seasons. That's apps. We will Ben, you and I will probably never, ever see another player ever average that ever again.
I mean, it took decades after Oscar to probably take decades again. Look, something we really haven't talked about, and perhaps it's not even worth discussing at this point because it's hard to tap into these players' mindsets. But if you're Russell Westbrook too, you're almost 33 years old. You're averaging a triple double. Didn't make the All-Star team. This team has really struggled to build around you and Beal. If you're Russell Westbrook, you have to wonder, like, you know, chances are I could end my career in Washington. You also want a chance to win a championship, and that isn't in Washington. Maybe even he's a player that's, you know, he's shown that when the Oklahoma City Thunder started to rebuild, they did him a favor and traded him to Houston. And when his time in Houston was going to end, he made sure it ended. And it wouldn't shock me that if the Wizards don't make any significant moves in the summer, or maybe Bradley Beal sours in the situation and ends up getting traded himself, that Russell Westbrook doesn't come to the front office and say, hey, I'm 33, I'm doing my best. And simply put, you're not doing your best and I got to get out of here. So that wouldn't shock me.
Absolutely. Oh, just I wouldn't another, be surprised by that at all.
That's the thing. This Wizards team.
He's got to do what he has to do. And so does Brad, honestly. They both have to do what they got to do at the end of the day, Ben. Honestly, if next year we're talking about the same crap,
yeah,
the same struggles, they need to do what they have to do because, yes, I mean, Russ is going to be 33. I mean, Brad's going to be 28.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, at some point, they're going to want to win.
Something's got to give. And that's exactly the thing, Anthony. The fun part about being a Washington Wizards fan, a Washington Wizards reporter, podcaster, whatever you want to call yourself, whether you're listening or doing the podcast or writing about the team, this team is unlike any other team in the sense that if they are bad, they still have so many other storylines to follow. Like, they're always going to have something to pay attention to outside of the sport itself, outside of the team development. And Russell Westbrook's situation is something to watch. He's not a player that's going to sit on his hands and just accept the fact that the team is bad. He understands that the careers are finite. He understands that his legacy is on the line. Nobody wants to end their career in Washington if you're going to win 20, 30 games. That's not – he's very cognizant.
And he does not deserve that for his career. He does not.
And he knows that. He's very aware of that. And I think something to watch. But, Anthony – look, the Wizards are what they are. We are what we are. We're consistent. We bring the heat. We bring the takes.
We love it, baby. We love it, right?
We'll do it again tomorrow. We want to thank you guys for listening. As always, we'll be back with you again tomorrow. If you haven't already, go subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you prefer your podcast. For Anthony, it's Locked On Wizards. And again, we'll be here again tomorrow.